open up our Bibles. We're going to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. All right, hear now the word of God. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the paths of life. Her ways are unstable. She doesn't even know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one, and strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. And you groan at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I have hated instruction and my heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost an utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, and from water and fresh water from your own well, or flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone, not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be intoxicated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But when he's found, he must repay seven times. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He would destroy himself. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be satisfied, though you give many gifts. This is the word of the Lord. And we're going to be looking at other passages as well. All right. We know the book of Proverbs is written historically for royal sons, for sons of the king. That's who it was written for. And so that was their learning plan for princes sons of the king to learn some lessons. So there were some warnings in here that are specifically written to young men and that are common for young men. Now, it would be a mistake if we were to read the book of Proverbs and read this portion and say, since I'm not a young man, I have nothing to worry about here. Or because I am a woman, this doesn't apply to me. If this was written to kids who enjoyed playing with Legos, and it was talking about the dangers of wanting to own every Lego, it would be crazy for the rest of us to go, I don't have a problem with Legos. I don't need to read that. This is the Word of God. And the book of Romans, it tells us, Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, that the things that were written before time in this book, they were written for our learning. So when we read Proverbs chapter 5 and see something here that has to do with the desires of a young man getting seduced by his eyes, it would be crazy for us to go, ah, that's about somebody else. It's not about me. So if we're going to knock it up a level, we're in Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs 6, and we'll touch on Proverbs 7. If we knock it up a level, this isn't only about the desires of young men. This is about the desires of any of us. The desires of any of us. And this isn't only about the desires of being attracted to the opposite sex. That's not what this is only about. That is important for like young men who are struggling with this. But if we knock it up and start hearing that this is probably broader and can touch on many desires. Now, what is desires? Well, desires aren't a bad thing. Having a desire is not a bad thing. When Frank brought the fruit, right? You saw that bowl of fruit this morning with the raspberries and the strawberries and the cantaloupe and the watermelon, and that bowl opened up, pop, and you see all the fruit up top. You desired it, right? And then with the Cool Whip next to it, you go, ooh, that looks good. You desired it, right? And then there's a box of donuts right next to it. You desired it. Is it wrong to have a desire for yummy fruit and donuts? Well, in excess, it's a problem, right? But the desire of it, where did that desire come from? Why did God make it that when you're hungry and if you can smell a steak cooking in the other room, it smells yummy? Why did God do that? Because he doesn't have a problem with desire. He puts it in us. He puts desires in us. And those desires are good. There's a lot of good desires. I'm going to read here just this list of certain desires that are things that are just good. Don't you desire financial freedom? Wouldn't that be nice? All right? There's nothing wrong with that. Don't you desire love? Right? Happiness? Success? You know, doing something and it works out right? Doesn't that feel good? Peace? Safety? These are good desires. Being known for something. Isn't that like for somebody to know, like if you own a business and that you do a good job and people can say, hey, go to this guy or go to that gal. They do a good job. Isn't that a good desire? Like, I want to be known for doing good work. How about desiring liberty or freedom? It's a good desire, right? Health. Don't you want to be healthy? So these are all good things. In fact, the book of Proverbs, even like, look at this passage. Look, turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And look at verse 13. Look how the Word of God puts it. My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the honeycomb is sweet to your taste. You hear that? That's in the Word of God, that he is telling the kid, hey, you know what? Enjoy yummy things. Honey is delicious. It's sweet. Now we, in our culture, we're used to having sugar all the time. So for some of us, we go, ooh, honey might be too sweet. But think about this in a culture where they're not producing sweetness. And if you find a piece of honeycomb with the honey in it, oh, it's so sweet. It's so tasty. It's amazing. And this is saying in the Word of God, eat honey because it's good. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. And I think it's in verse 19. Oh, yeah. Proverbs 13, 19. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. Now there, it's talking about how fools desire turning away, they desire evil. So for them to turn away from evil, they don't do it. So it's actually horrible for them. But the beginning part of the verse, desire, fulfilling your desires, it's sweet to the soul. It's enjoyable to get your desires fulfilled. So go back to Proverbs chapter 5. So when we look at Proverbs chapter 5, we have to have the background in our heads that desires, they have a good. God built them into us for a reason, for enjoyment. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said something along the lines of, God built us in with desires so that we know that there's an ultimate fulfiller of desires. So in the same way that you know, I'm hungry, therefore I need food, or I feel lonely and I want love, therefore you need someone to be loved, we have all these desires that get fulfilled only temporarily because there's someone out there who can really fulfill our ultimate desire. So desire is a good thing, right? But in this passage, we're going to see three things. That our desires are also in danger. Our desires are in danger, number one. We can see that our desires are when displaced, can ruin us. Our desires can ruin us. And then we have to also see that our desires need redirection. So our desires are in danger, our desires can ruin us, and our desires need redirection. So let's start off with our desires are in danger. And this is how this passage starts off. In chapter 5, the father is talking to the son, and he says, listen to wisdom, listen to what I'm telling you, listen to the words of my mouth. And he's saying this, hold this on, and then he starts telling the son, your desires are in danger because there's a market out there wanting to take your desires and suck that desire away. There's a market out there. And in this case, he's using the example of an adulteress. Look, it says in verse 3, the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. So here she is. So honey is a good thing, right? We just read that in the book of Proverbs. Honey is a good thing. It's sweet. But here is an adulteress, that's a woman who cheats, right, on her husband. And her lips are like honey, and her words are like oil. Oil is something healthy in the Bible. It's something that you need for health. Honey is sweet to be eaten, but there's something wrong here. It's an adulteress that's doing this. And she's calling out, and she's the one in there. She's out there in the marketplace saying, give me your desire. I'm here for it. And that's a problem. That's a problem that in the world, there are attractive messages all around for any desire that you want. Any desire you want. I can guarantee it. Are you feeling like you need financial freedom, right? You want financial freedom. We all agreed. Oh, man, especially at some of us who have a 401k and we saw the stock market drop and we went, oh, there goes our retirement, right? We want financial freedom, but there's tons of marketing out in the world that says, hey, here's a way to make a quick buck. Isn't it amazing that I think it's crazy. Like, when we started legalizing gambling in sports, legalizing gambling for sports, and then surprised when the people who are in the sports cheat to make money. The message is out there, and it makes it like it's so sweet when you hear, oh, look, it's easy. It's here. You can gamble. It's available for you. It's out there. This message is all around us. There is a way to fulfill your desires in this world all over the place. But look what it says here. It's all on shaky ground. Look at verse 5 and 6. This adulteress, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. She doesn't think about life. Her ways are unstable. She does not even know it. So she, this adulteress who's saying, I'm here to fulfill your desires, she's on shaky ground. And what we're learning by hearing this is that there's marketing this all over the place. There's things that want to take your desires, and it's all shaky ground. All of it. All of it. It can ruin you. I mean, it's crazy that we like I was just talking about gambling, that we're saying, hey, let's legalize gambling because the government then could take their cut, right? But they're legalizing a vice. So there are people who destroy their lives gambling. I mean, I hate the lottery. I can't stand it. It drives me nuts. I'd love to win it, but I don't play it. So I'd love to win it with a free ticket that just lands in my lap. But here it is. Here's this lottery where you are told, hey, it's an easy way for you to make mega million dollars, right? And the government says, this is great. We can take this and we can tax it and we take some money. And this is our way for the government to make money. But who's the people who are more likely to be spending money on the lottery? It's the poor. So we're making money off of the back of these people who are oppressed. And you hear it, and that's shaky ground, right? They're taking the money that if they took that same amount of money and put it in a bank account, it can probably help them out of their situation. Instead, they're putting it on this shaky ground. And that's what this passage is saying. There's desires everywhere. There's fulfillers of desire everywhere. And it's all on shaky ground. Not only that, look at Proverbs chapter 7. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. And this starts in verse 6. And this is a very interesting picture here. The writer, he's saying, he's looking out the window, right? He's looking out the window of his house. And he sees a young man. In verse chapter 7, verse 6, and he sees a young man who's been walking around. And it says in verse 7, I saw among the naive and discerned among the youth a young man who didn't lack sense. I saw an idiot of a guy. And he was walking through the street near her corner. Whose corner? Well, verse 5, these words are given to keep you from an adulteress. So this young man is walking near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. Look at verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness, this young man is walking around his neighborhood when he shouldn't, trying to fulfill his desires, and there's the marketplace. Behold, a woman comes to meet him. She's dressed as a harlot. She has cunning heart. She's boisterous. She's loud. Her feet do not remain at home. She's in the streets. She's in the squares. She lurks by every corner. She seizes him. She kisses him. And with a brazen face, that means that she has a lot of makeup on. She looks great. She looks fantastic. She says to him, oh, I'm here for you. I'm not going to read the rest of the passage. You can read it. But she's saying, basically, I've made myself ready for you. And this is the message of the world. There's desires everywhere. We have desires. There's fulfillers of desires everywhere. And the message of these fulfillers of desires saying, hey, we're here for you whenever you want it. We're here for you because you're special and you deserve it. We're here to fulfill whatever those desires that you have. And it's your time. We've set it up perfectly for you. And this could be about anything. This could be about health. Isn't it crazy? It blows my mind, right? We all want to be healthy, right? We all want to be healthy. We don't want to get sick. We want to be able to live long, and we don't want to have health problems, right? And it's actually a pretty clear path, and I'm even saying this to myself. There's a very clear, easy path to health. Getting the rest you need, eating in moderation and eating the right things and basic exercise. Very easy path to health. Very easy path to health. And yet, this blows my mind. If you go down into Bristol, you can find an urgent care center on every street and on every corner. And you can go in and you can talk to your doctor. And if you want to get healthy, if you want to lose weight, there's even shots for that. You could take a shot. It's easy. Oh, it might have some side effects. You might lose sleep. You might have indigestion. But you'll look great. It's everywhere. You see, like, that marketing is everywhere, and it does it for you. It's saying whatever you desire. I just hit financial health. I hit personal health. But whatever your desire, you name it and want it, there is something out there available for you that's saying, give me what you got, and I'll make it all right for you because you deserve it. So our desires are in danger. They're constantly in danger of being twisted away and spent wherever they want, anywhere. And in fact, look at verse 19 of chapter 7. The woman, she says, we could do whatever we want. And she says, my husband's not home. He's gone on a long trip. He's taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he'll come home. And with her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. You know what that's saying? That she is able to tell him the right message that says, hey, listen, you're not going to get caught. You can fulfill your desire in your time, in your way, and nobody needs to know. And you're okay. And he, the young man, goes, that sounds pretty good. But it's like that for all of us, for any desire, any desire. I find it amazing. I find it amazing that some of our desires can easily be fulfilled. Pornography aside, sexual desires aside, if you want to gamble today, you don't have to go buy. You don't have to go into a shop with a bunch of characters with hats and overcoats. You just download an app, and you can gamble from your phone. Easy peasy. You could do this at any point from the privacy of your own home. You can go into complete debt, and no one needs to know. I find it interesting that, for example, with the legalization of recreational marijuana, right? You can be intoxicated from the comfort of your home. You can get it delivered to your door in some places. You can order it from Colorado if you want, right to your door. And you can be high and baked on the couch whenever you want. No one even needs to know. See what you see that? And that's very appealing for having our desires filled. It's like the fast track for having our desires filled. It's not a lot of work. You just get it the next day or two-day delivery, and you can save money. You see, our desires are in danger of being improperly used, but rather being displaced and used in these ways. So our desires are in danger. But that's not the only thing this passage is telling us. This passage is showing us that our desires can destroy us. They can ruin us, right? So look as it goes on here in chapter 7, verse 22. He follows her. The young man follows the woman. And then he says, as an ox goes to the slaughter, right? So he follows her, or as one in fetters, to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a burst hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. So in the story here, the young man who is looking for love in all the right places, in the night, in the dark, with the person who was looking for him, who was making the mood right, he found it, and he could do it in privacy, and he goes with her, and then he doesn't know that he's ruined his life. He's going like a dumb animal about to be killed, and an arrow pierces his liver. Now, the point there is, like, the guy is looking at this. Now, he's looking through his window. He's not really seeing the arrow pierce the guy's liver. He's not following the young man. He's telling the story that if he goes with this woman, who's not his wife, he's going to discover that it ruins his life completely. It's a danger. And then when I read earlier, you heard that passage in chapter 6 where an enraged, jealous husband, you can't calm that down. He's going to take you out. But the thing is, this applies to any of our desires. If our desires wind up becoming the thing that controls us because we've put those desires on the wrong things, we find that it ruins our lives. I know a person who for years was speaking about the benefits, the health benefits of marijuana. Oh, marijuana, the health benefits, it's for this. And he was talking about the health benefits of marijuana to justify that he was enjoying the marijuana, right? So he's justifying. And then he was buying the marijuana. So he was buying in secret. He was using his money. But then he got to the point when he was using the marijuana repeatedly, and he was ignoring the counsel, even from the doctor saying, the marijuana that you're using, it's not the same level that it was in the 60s. It's 500 times that. It is ruining you. And the person refused to listen. Oh, but it's okay, right? We've legalized it. And since it's legal, it's okay. And it's not. And this applies to so many things. This applies to so many things. You know what? The idea of being healthy and living a long life. Isn't it interesting, the idea of being healthy and being a long life and the idea of beauty? Those things are desirable, right? It's good to see pretty things. It's wonderful. But isn't it wild that there is an industry out there, an industry that markets to women and men that you inject certain poison into the parts of your skin so that those things don't have wrinkles because they don't move anymore. And if you peel the skin back a little bit, it'll get rid of those wrinkles so you look younger. But then when you see those people that have repeatedly kept pulling back the skin, they look like walking corpses. And you look at them and you go, why didn't they just let themselves age? Now they look worse. You see what I mean? It ruins you. It starts making you a different thing. Plastic surgery is a fantastic thing. It's amazing to think that someone can be burned on their body. Right? They can have a burn, a horrible burn, and you can take parts of their skin to graft that skin back to give them, to make them feel a little better about themselves, right? That's a fantastic thing. But that same plastic surgery can be used to make yourself what you think is an ideal of beauty, and you're ruining yourself in so doing. So our desires can ruin us. They can ruin us. Honor is another thing, and I know this doesn't really apply to our country, but historically, honor was huge, like in Japan, in the Japanese culture, right? Offending the family, don't do that. Honor. But yet, honor was the thing that drove so many kamikaze pilots in World War II to get into their planes and nosedive into aircraft carriers because of honor. You see, it ruins you. And it ruins you, and it can ruin the lives around you. So desires can ruin us. Listen to this. Listen to this quote. And you've probably heard it before. The idea of pursuing happiness is insane. If you pursue happiness, you'll never find it. If you pursue happiness, you'll never find it. Happiness is one of those things that you don't chase to get it. You chase something else, and then you discover, oh, I'm happy. But what people do is they chase happiness. And when they keep chasing happiness and chasing it, they constantly find, I'm not happy, I'm not happy, I'm not happy. And their life gets bitter and angry, and it ruins you. So our desires are in danger, but our desires can destroy us. They can destroy us. And those are two important points that we need to remember. So when you go back to chapter 5, let's go back to chapter 5. Chapter 5. They destroy us, not only by ruining our health, but by emptying us, making, bottoming us out. So look at chapter 5, verse 7. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far away from her. Do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your strength to other people. And your years are given away to the cruel one. And strangers have your strength.
and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of a stranger, and you'll groan at your final end. Do you hear that? Now, here in the story, the young man, he winds up that he's giving away his strength to other people. He's giving away his money to this lady that's not his wife. He's giving that stuff away. But the point here is that the desires, when you displace your desires, you put them in the wrong, you take those good desires and you spend them on fulfilling those desires constantly, constantly, you wind up empty, broke. Oh, Ray loves food. I love food. I love it. I love a good meal. But I can guarantee that if I was spending all my money going and finding a new meal, my wife would have some serious hard words for me. What are you doing? Because it's wasting away what we have earned. And this could apply for anything. You know what? Muscle cars are great. Or vehicles. I love, I would love to have a DeLorean from the 80s. It's a horrible vehicle. It's a steel car. It was horrible, but I like it because of Back to the Future. But if I used the money I had to get this car, I would ruin our family. It empties you. It empties you. So that's the thing. Desires can destroy us. They not only can kill you, they can ruin your strength, your ability, your financial gains. It ruins you. It bottoms you out. The answer is that our desires need direction. They need redirection. Now, here's the answer is not this. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, because here's a good example of the world's use of desires. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats, she wipes her mouth, and says, I've done nothing wrong. Now, that is a picture, right? It's a word picture. And it's giving you the picture there that basically she has an affair, and she goes, I didn't do anything wrong. Basically, she's treating it like biology. So if you're hungry, what do? If you're hungry? You eat. If you're tired, what do? If you're tired? You sleep. And here, what do? If you feel lonely? You find someone. And that's the world, part of the world's idea of what it means to be intimate with someone. And that applies to any of our desires. You want to make more money? Start a side hustle. Whatever it takes. You know, there's some good side hustles, like actually working at things, but you know what? There's some really quick ways. I remember in the hood growing up for making quick money. There were a lot of quick ways. Selling a little dime bag, no problem. Very easy ways to make money. And that is clearly a wrong way to get your desires fulfilled. And that's a lot of what we're reading in that passage, that wrong way of saying, just do what you want. That's one way to direct your desires. Just do what you want. It's just biology anyway. Another way that's wrong to direct your desires is to push them down. And this is an idea that sometimes Christians have been accused of. You have the world, which is all about feeling good and chasing pleasures, and then you have Christians. And you, Christians, don't have fun, right? Push down your desire. You don't smile. Having a laugh is not good. No, you push those desires down. But that's not what the Bible says, right? Remember how I started off that the Bible, what we saw in the Word of God, if there's something, there's honey, it's sweet. Enjoy it. The Bible, in fact, does not say, take your desires and suppress them. We have no desires. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, in this chapter, this passage makes me sweat a little bit. Chapter 5, verse 15, the writer says, drink water from your own cistern. So that's like a hole in the ground. That's a well, right, where there's water in there. Fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be spread abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone. And not for strangers. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. You know what that passage is saying? It's saying your desires are a good thing. Enjoy them very much, but enjoy them with your wife. That's what he's telling the young men. But what does that mean to us? Some of us were saying, wait, I don't have a wife. What's the problem there? Or I'm too old for that. The point is, hey, there is a right place to enjoy your desires. There are right boundaries for those desires. There's a right circle for those desires. You don't just spread them out. There's a right place and time for those desires to be fulfilled. But how do you figure that out? You guys, all of us, we can leave the building today and we could go, okay, well, we got a good lesson today don't just spend your desires everywhere, but, you know, find the right time and place for fulfilling those desires, and now I got to figure that out. I don't know what to do. Well, this is the good news. The Bible actually gives us some good direction on where to first direct your desires. And it's not directing your, not pushing your desires down. It's not spreading them all over the place. It's directing your desires upwards first. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And we're going to be in verse 25. Is it 25? Yep. Yep. Proverbs 23, 25. Give me your heart, my son. Let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks in the... Wait a second. Where did I miss? No, I was in verse 26. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Do you see that? Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. And it keeps you from, verse 27, the harlot is a deep pit. It's just an endless well for your desires. But you should be delighting in the ways of the Father. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. Proverbs 8, verse 11. Wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. So wisdom is more desirable than jewels, more desirable than anything. It's saying the Father's words are to be desired, that wisdom is to be desired. You're directing your desires and your delights upwards. And in this chapter, in chapter 8, this was the same chapter where it says that wisdom dwelled with the Lord in the beginning. So this is where you're taking your desires and you're wrapping them upwards to the one who gave you those desires. You're tying your desires up in him. But how can you do that? How do you do that? I just gave you a whole bunch of examples of things that are enjoyable, and then I'm saying take your desires and tie them to the Lord. I use the example of beauty, right? All of us, we like beautiful things. Now, you might have different definitions of beauty, right? We all want beautiful things. We all like pretty things. And we find it really amazing when pretty things like us back. We do. It's exciting. Even think about when you were younger. Like, I'm thinking about like when I was 16. I was a very homely looking person, but to have the idea like, oh, there's this beautiful, beautiful girl. Oh, wow. If she liked me back, oh, I'd be the king of the world. Could you imagine everybody looking at me because she likes me? We all have that. We all have this idea of like wanting pretty things, and then the idea of the pretty things turning eyes onto you. For a long time, I also wanted a Porsche. I still want a Porsche. I'll never own one. But I wanted a Porsche, and it was always because I loved the car. It looks so beautiful. It's a looking, good-looking car. And I'm thinking about driving the car and then also thinking about all the eyes looking at me in the Porsche, right? We all want pretty things. We desire them, and we desire it because it makes us pretty. But here's the thing. So when I'm asking the question of how do we turn our desires upwards, well, you have to find the beauty in Him. You have to find the beauty in Him. You have to find the beauty in the Lord. You have to find the beauty in your Lord. But how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, when you come to understand that while we were ugly and sinners and unattractive, He wanted us so much that He died for us. Isn't that something? That's Romans chapter 5. He showed His love to us by dying for us while we were ugly. Isn't that something? Like, think about it, think about it, think about it. Maybe some of you didn't have this problem, but if you're the ugly person at the party, the ugly person at the party, and the best-looking person in the room comes up to you and says, I want to dance with you, you feel like you're walking on water. You float. You want to dance with me? This is the most beautiful one in the universe saying, I'm setting it all aside for you, you, you. I died for you. That's something. So then you start, that should warm your heart that He wanted to be with me so much that He became flesh to die for me. Not only that, this is what's amazing. Not only that, when the Lord did this, He didn't come as beautiful on the outside. He set aside anything that was desirable on the outside. He put that aside. Remember, there was nothing beautiful about Him. There was nothing that was, we can considered Him despised. There was nothing to be desired when we see Him. You know why He did that? He said, I don't want you to be confused with the external. I'm not coming in power. I'm not coming being good-looking and gorgeous. I'm not coming with this loud authority. I'm not coming over here bringing health and wealth. In fact, in some places, I'm not even going to heal some people in some areas. I'm just going to go through those towns and not heal anybody in some places. I'm not coming here with riches. I'm not bringing any of those external things. All I'm doing is showing you my tremendous love because I want to be with you forever. And by doing that, you get to see that the most beautiful one in the universe said, I'm taking aside the beauty and I'm becoming ugly to be with you. And then I make you gorgeous. Oh my goodness, that thrills the soul. That should warm you up. The fact that God decides to take us sinners and take us up out of our worst condition and seats us in heavenly places so that all the universe is waiting for the, it says in Romans chapter 8, that all of creation groans for the appearing of the sons of glory. You know what that means? That all of creation is outside waiting for you, all of us, to show up with Him, waiting, the beautiful ones. Not because there was something beautiful in you, but because He did it for us. That is amazing. Pure, amazing love. Pure, He desired us and gave Himself for us. Now, that should start turning your desires upwards. It starts making you go, wow, well, God so loved the world, yes, but He so loved me. He gave Himself for me. He seated me in heavenly places. Unlike, and I've used this illustration before, unlike the husband that stands with the bride on the wedding day and she's gorgeous and he's gorgeous and he says, till death do you part, and your wedding is then consummated and you guys will be together until death breaks you. This one, the lover of our souls, said, before we get married, one second, let me go die for you. Then he got up, came back to the wedding, and said, now that's done. There's no more death. I will be with you always. Always. That is complete and amazing love and desire. And that should then take your desires and go, I'm putting those desires on you. You're my ultimate health. I have a desire for life, but you're bringing me eternal life. I have a desire for beauty, but you're bringing ultimate beauty. I want freedom, but you actually bring true freedom. I don't have to worry about death anymore. I want financial health, but I am with the Lord of glory who owns the whole creation, and I'm a fellow co-heir with him. I don't have to worry about any of these things. This is why the Lord Jesus could say, why are you anxious for anything? If you have me, you don't have to be worrying about what you're eating tomorrow or what money you're going to get. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Now, he's not saying, hey, it's transaction. You follow me, and then I give you money. He's saying, no, you follow me, these things fade away. You don't worry about that anymore. Yeah, you'll come up. There's going to be times that you're worrying about it. But you got me. You won the lottery. We were talking about George Mueller earlier, right? And George Mueller went through cycles of time of waiting and waiting, and there's nothing to eat, and praying, and the Lord supplies. But in each of those times, he was never looking at it as, hey, God's my genie of the lamp. He just kept going and being amazed by the wonder that God provided. But my goodness, to think that God provided for us eternally. He is the true fulfiller of our ultimate desires, our ultimate desires. So as we're looking at these passages, like in Proverbs chapter 5, I encourage you, you can go home and read it. You can read Proverbs 6. You can read Proverbs 7. And you can even take a look at Proverbs chapter 30 when you see the woman, the wife of Proverbs 31, rather. And you see this wife, and you see her, and she's amazing. And you start thinking, oh, I wish I could be a wife like her. But pause for a second. If this passage is kicking up the level of desire to say, hey, this is the one who's fulfilling all these things, start looking at these passages and seeing how is the Lord being the ultimate wife, the ultimate spouse, the one who has been completely working tirelessly for you, for his house. Think about those things. Be enveloped in those things and be thankful that the lover of our souls gave himself for us so that you could put your desires rightly on him. And then enjoy things in life as they come within the boundaries that he gives them to you. Enjoy those things, but be fully enjoying the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Blessed Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that these things are recorded in this passage, these lessons from the book of Proverbs, where we're seeing that desires are good. They are in danger, but we also see that you are the ultimate fulfiller of desires, that you wanted us, you sent your Son to die for us, so that we could become beautiful, that we could find our ultimate fulfillment of our desires in you. Remind us of these things. Teach us. Warm our hearts with them so that we can be ever thankful day after day and moment by moment. We pray these things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.